Now we're holding on the Gimel Amud Aleph, second line. We were learning about this whole matter of Bia B'Miktsas. The person forcefully enters the Azara, is it considered Bia, and therefore if he's Tame, then that's a problem. We learned yesterday that Ullah had brought in the name of Rish Lakish, that Tame puts his hand, even his hands, into the Azara, then he gets Malkus. We were discussing whether, in fact, it is something that's also Daraisa. Is it maybe something that Rabbi Yochanan had said that for a Tomei to go in to that for a Tomei to go into the Harabayas or even into the Ezos Nashim is only also Darabanan? Talking about this whole point, what if a person is on the Chos of Kippurim and also has another kind of tumor, whether he's allowed to, because as we said, a Metzora has to be able to stick in body parts into the Azara in order to have the blood of the Ashram applied to them. So the Gemara continues. Lema Messiah, can we say that we can support what Ullah had said about Bia B'Miktas using the following braisa? Kol ha-smichas shahoyushan, any time that a person does smicha on a korban, korda lehen ani takeh for smicha shchita, then we always apply the rule that the smicha has to be right after the shchita, because the pasuk says the samach and then the next thing is the shochat. With the exception of this one, of the Asham Metzora, which took place at the Shaar Nikonor, Shein Metzora, Yochol Likonis Sham, at Lisham, the Metzora can't even enter the entranceway of Shaar Nikonor, Adjim Mazen Olam Midam Chatos, or Midam Ashamari, until they sprinkled on his behalf the blood of his Chatos and his Asham. So, in other words, what we have to do is, So actually, Rashi explains, doesn't mean Yochel Likonis L'Shom, rather, doesn't mean he can't enter the gate. The gate itself, he can enter. He stands inside the gateway. They bring him the Osham. He does the smicha over there, right next to the gateway, and then we bring the Osham to where it needs to be shechted, as the Gemara is going to discuss soon. This Brai says, according to the opinion, that Sofon, that the area where the Osham can be shechted, is some distance further away, near them, closer to the Mizbeach. But he stands inside the doorway. Rashi points out the doorway was not given the kedusha of the Azara, precisely so that the Masora should be able to stand there. Tosfos elsewhere discusses that another point may have been that now why can't we have instead that the Masora will stand outside the gate, will stand on the 15 steps, on the top of the 15 steps over there, and the gate itself will have the kedusha of the Azara, and will bring the animal over there. And Tosfos mentions elsewhere too in Yuvamas, I think, two points. First of all, the inside the gate might not be a valid place to shecht the animal, no matter what. Even a point of Rebbe who holds that suffering is the largest possible area, he still wouldn't say that inside the gateway itself is considered suffering or is considered lifnei Hashem, and therefore you can't do smicha there either. Second of all, just they wanted to give the poor Mitzvah a break in case it's raining or in case it's other kind of bad weather or whatever, let him have something to stand under. Anyway, so there we can't have take a smicha shchita because he has to do his smicha right next to the doorway and we can't shecht over there. Rashi, by the way, points out when it says Shemazim Olav Midam Chatos and Midam Hashamay, Olav would usually mean on him, but we don't actually sprinkle the blood of the Chatos and the Asham on him. It means on his behalf, and then we take some of the blood of the Asham and we apply it to his body parts. Now, the Amad Bia B'Mitzvah Lo Shema Bia, if you would think that, not like Ula, that coming in partially into the Azara is not considered a Bia, and it's only a problem if he comes in most of his body or all of his body, then what's the problem? Why wouldn't he be able to put his hands into the doorway and do the smicha and shech the korban right there? With the doorway, Rashi points out, the doorway is 10 amas wide, and Shaar Nikonor, which is where he stands, is exactly in the middle on the north-south line in the Azara, so half of the 5 amas of the doorway are in the Tzofen. So very well then, let him stand in that half of the doorway, he'll stick in his hands into the Azara, and the animal will, while the animal is standing right there, will shecht it. So the fact that the Braisa says that we can't do that because in this case we have to violate the principle of Tekef or Smicha Shchita seems to show like, well, he can't even stick his hands in to do the Shchita, and therefore, and the only thing we're allowing him is a few minutes later to stick in his ear and thumb and toe so we can put the blood of the Asham on, and only because you have a special Gzeres HaKosher for that. So the answer is, Rabbi Yosef says that's not really a proof. Amani Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, because this Braisa may be according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, Yom Merachat Sofim, where he says that in fact Sofim is further away. We learned previously on Daf Kof, a three-way machlokes, what part of the Azara is considered Sofim, and according to him, only the part directly north of the Mizbeach. Well then, that's 22 Amos away from Shaul Nikanor, because he got 11 Amos of Ezra's Yisrael, and another 11 Amos of Ezra's Kohenim, and only then do you reach the beginning of the Mizbeach. And he said he certainly can't stick out his hands that far, and we're certainly not going to allow him to go in that far to do that. So therefore, in that case, we have no choice to not to take us a Smitha Shrita. In this connection, by the way, as far as Tekef, here's where Tosfos elsewhere in Sota talks about when the Gemara says Tekef from the Tilos Yadayim Bracha, as far as Mayim Vishkonim, and as far as... Take off the Smicha Shrita, take off from the Tulsi Daim Bracha. Gulul Tfila, I don't think is there. Maybe it is.
In Brachas,
it talks about Somech Gulul Tfila. I don't remember whether that's one of the Tekefs. Anyway, then the Gemara brings another one, take if to a tzaddik, this bracha, anyway, whatever. The point is that one of the takeoffs over there is take if from the Tulsi Yadayim bracha, and Tosfos discusses over there that refers both to washing before the meal, and Maimachar, and then it's saying Hamotzi, and washing after, and then Maimachronim, and then benching. In both cases, it has to be takeoff, and based on this Gemara over here, it comes out that even walking 22 Amos is not considered takeoff anymore. So therefore, so it's supposed to be. So it's brought in Shulchan Aruch that Amal brings in Shulchan Aruch, the Alter Rebbe brings in his Shulchan Aruch, etc. That preferably there should not be even a time that it takes to walk 22 Amos between washing and saying Hamotzi and between Mayim Achronim and benching. Unless it's Soda Chasoda, so the Maisa, of course, when you have when everybody's washing and it takes forever and a half, Soda Chasoda, so that everybody is sitting there, so there's more leeway over there, but still there is this image. Actually, a number of the Mephoshim asked from Tosfos that based on the Gemara over here, it seems that we're saying that not even, we're saying that even at the beginning, the Gemara assumed that it wouldn't be taken for smicha shchita, even if we just had like the one step into the azara to do the smicha. So mashma that even one step is not considered takeif anymore. So among the answers, the Sam Sofer, another Achronim, talk about there may be a difference between one reshus and another. In Shaul Nikanor, which is not part of the Azara, versus the Azara itself. There's a different Rishus in the same vein that you tackle can't have, that you wash in one Rishus and then you go and make Hamotzi in a different one. Ideally, you shouldn't. Lamaisa sometimes is not much of a choice. If you wash in the kitchen and you're going to be making hamotzi in the dining room and you don't have a wall between them, but yeah. So Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda says that Sofen is further away and therefore there's no way to do it except by violating Tekef for Smicha Shlita. So the question is, in that case, then why do we need to do that? Why don't we make a new side door by the, directly north of the Mizbeach, a pishbush is, you have a big gate to the Mikdash that's 10 by 20 amas, a pishbush would be a smaller gate. So why don't we make one in the north wall of the Azara, directly opposite the Mizbeach, then the Mitzvah can stand there, and he can stick in his hands. If we say, Bia Mitzvah, then he'll be able to stick his hands in over there, and then he'll do his Shnecha, and then we'll be able to check the carbon, and even according to Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, that area is suffering. And the answer is Abaye v'Rabbi Dami Tavayo. No, because Abaye and Rabbi both say you can't just add gates to the Bais HaMikdash. As the pasuk says, "Kol b'ksav miyad Hashem alai hiskil kol malachas atavnis." David says to Shlomo when he gives him the blueprint for the Bais HaMikdash, it's all in writing from the hand of Hashem who gave me to understand all of the blueprint. So therefore, we can't add anything to the blueprint of the Bais HaMikdash. We can't be adding a hishvash over here. This, by the way, so at the beginning of the parak we talked about when the Tomei uses the long knife, and I was wondering over there, Tosfos had discussed the whole question of standing in Shaul Nikanor and reaching all the way does he have to be standing outside the Ezra's Nachim? Does he have to be standing in Shaul Nikanor? How long does this knife have to be? I was wondering then actually why Tosfos didn't just mention that there are gates to the north and the south of the Azara. Based on this, we see over here, the Jackal Warren, apparently there was no gate directly opposite Sofen. So when they always have in models of the Beis Hamikdash, when they have the three or four gates that are on the north side, and they have them distributed more or less evenly along the length of the wall between the coastal Ma'arabi of the Azara and the eastern, and then the eastern wall, apparently that's based on the Gemara, apparently that's not correct, so they're all bunched up together closer to the Heichal, I guess. Tosfos points out that they could add the things where they found a posset to Darshan. We have in Sukkah that they added the balcony for the women by Simchas Beis Hasheva based on a drosha of a posset in Zechariah that you have to keep the men and women apart. Now, what about Tosfos says? Okay, well, in that case over here, in order to be mekayim mitzvah smicha, then that should give us a license to be able to add such a door. So Tosfos points out the continuation of the Gemara over here discusses two possibilities why it's not necessary, either because the Gemara is going to say maybe the smicha of an Asham Metzora is actually not Daraisa, so therefore there's certainly no license to add a gate in order to allow a smicha that would be necessary only Dirabbanan, and then you have the other possibility that the Gemara is going to say that there's Gzeira Dirabbanan, that we don't want him to walk any further into the Azara more than necessary, and again, that's not a valid reason to go start making a pishbosh over here. So there's no choice but for him to stand in Sharon Negev. So all of that is one version of the discussion. So we see from that, in other words, so fine, you have a braisa that says that the smicha is not taken for shritah, but that would be specifically according to the Yosi Bibi Yehuda, that suffering is further away, and therefore of necessity we have to take the animal at least 22 amas away from where he's doing the smicha. But meanwhile, Ula is holding like the Chachamim, or is holding like Rebbe, that suffering is in fact by the gate. But nevertheless, he can't stick in his hands to do smicha, because biyav miktas shmambiya, and the only thing we're allowing him is to stick in his ear, thumb, and toe, and therefore over here there's not going to be smicha. So the Gemara continues. So ikadamri, another version, another way of looking at it. Amar of Yosef. The reason he can't stick in his hands to do smicha, because a person does smicha, he can't just stick in his hands. He has to stick in his head and most of his body. My time, a kol koicha, because he has to do smicha the kol koicha. He does it with all of his strength. So here it's impossible, even if you're going to say that he can stick in his hands, but he certainly can't stick in most of his body, and therefore of necessity here, therefore there's not going to be able to be smicha. Tosfos points out other tnayim are able to send their korbanos and they don't do smicha, but fine, at least they could have done smicha when they're tahor. Here with a mitzvah, by definition, he's not going to be able to do the smicha because he's still tamei, he's still in the chosek kapara. So therefore, the only way is, either we're going to have to say that there's no smicha, or we're going to have to say, that this is part of the exception as well, that we are going to have to do smicha, and therefore, the same way as he sticks in his ear, thumb, and toe, the same way, for a moment, we're going to have to allow him to stick enough of his body in to do a proper smicha. So the question is, my kasava. We're saying that he will not be able to do smicha because of that. So the question is, if we're saying that he can't do smicha, or at least he can't do take of the smicha of the shritta, then the question is, my kasava, what does the braisa hold in this connection? That we're saying here we have to violate that rule of take of the smicha shritta.
You have my kasava?
What?
You have my kasava instead of my timer?
No, I said it already. My time of kol koicha be in and hilchah play after, that you need to do smicha with kol koicha, and therefore it's impossible to do that. It's impossible for the mitzvah to do rosh v'ruboy because you can't do it with kol koicha. Therefore, it's impossible. So it may well be bia b'mitzvah might not be considered bia, but that would be if he just put it in his hands, then fine. But here we have to put in rosh v'ruboy to do kol koicha, then that's not possible, and therefore we can't have take of smicha shvita. Well, the question is my kasavar. So what does the braisa hold? As far as so we have on the one hand, we're talking about whether he can go in at all, whether he's being a Mechusa Kippurim, whether he can go into the Azara, partially according to Ola, or more completely to do a proper smicha. But we also have, take of the smicha shritta, which on the face of it is also Daraisa, and the smicha is also Daraisa. So if these two things conflict, my kasava, I kasava smichas asham metzora Daraisa, if the Tana of this Braisa holds that the smicha on this turban is in fact, Daraisa, just like every other Asham, And he holds up the concept that the smicha has to be right before the shchita is also daraisa, because again we're learning it from a smichos of psukim. So what's the problem? So then he should be able to go right in and do smicha. Dirachmana Omar, because the same Torah that said that usually a tome is not allowed in Tidah Zara, here it's telling him that he should, because in effect, how else are we going to have smicha done? And be Mekayim, both of those things. That's true. Daraisa, he would be able to, but Midrabanan, we don't want him to after he does smicha. If he takes even an extra step further in than he was supposed to, then he's going to be chayav paris. So therefore, midrabanan, we're going to tell him to not do smicha. And of course, the chachamim have the ability when it comes to shev val tasa to tell a person to not do a mitzvah daraisa. The smicha, after all, is not ma'akim the kapara. The Gemara phrases it that it's shiuri mitzvah and mala olav kiel like kippur b'kippur. The Torah considers it almost as though he didn't do the kapara, but the fact is there is still a kapara because it's not essential. So therefore, in this case, the Chachamim tell him to override it. The Rashash makes a point, by the way. Rashi uses the expression that if after he does the smicha, Rashi says if after the smicha he were to go any further in, then he'd be chayav kares. So the Rashash points out from that the implication is that if he does that before the smicha, then in effect what we have is that basically at this point it's hutra for him to go in to do the smicha. So before he does the smicha, when he walks around there, he's not going to be chayav kares no matter where he goes. But now after the smicha, then we have this gzera. Okay, that's one way of looking at it. Ikata Amri Omar of Adaba Masna. Another version is that Rab Adaba Masna gave a different answer. Smicha, the Tana of this Braisa actually holds Smicha Sasham Matsura Daraisa. Yes, the Smicha and the Sasham Matsura is Daraisa, just like every other Osham. We learn it from the fact that the Torah tells us by a Chatas that there's Smicha, and we learn from a Hekesh of the fact that it says Kahatas Kosham. So fine, that smicha is daraisa. But take it for smicha of shchita, lav daraisa. But the Tana of this braisa holds the fact that the shchita has to be right afterwards is not daraisa. He doesn't learn that hekesh that the samach the shochad, and therefore fine. According to him, in this case, the mitzora is going to have to do the smicha by the gate. He can stick in his hands, fine. Be a b'mitzvah lav shmeibia. And then we're going to have to take it to a different part of the Azara. Then we're going to have to take it into the actual Azara and shaft it over there and have to override the taker for smicha l'shuta. However, the Gemara says Mesli, but I have a contradiction on that. Bryce says v'samach l'shavat mas shchita b'tahor. We learned this before. Mas smicha b'tahorin af shchita b'tahorin. We learned from it that just like the smicha has to be done by a person who's tahor, because again he has to be inside the azara to do it, and he can't be. And then by definition, a tamei person is not allowed in the azara. Af shchita b'tahorin. The same way the shchita has to be done by tahorim. Now we learned yesterday that was the opinion of Shimon Atimni, who said that a tamei is not able to shaft korbanos. So the Iyamet Lav Daraisa. Now, if you're going to tell me that the concept of smicha, of take of smicha l'shchita, is not Daraisa, but Tmei Nami Mashkafas Law, then you could perfectly well have a Tomei Shecht, because you could perfectly have a Tomei do smicha. He does the smicha outside the Azara, and then we bring it in. So even if, fine, we're saying that Daraisa is only according to Shimon HaTimni, but still, how would he... But still, evidently the idea that taker from smicha l'shchita is daraisa, it has to be that way. Otherwise you can't learn from it to shchita, because you can't say as a given that smicha is always done by tahor and me. Ela epo, so rather we have to flip it around. Smicha sacham mitzora lav daraisa, the taker from smicha l'shchita daraisa. We're gonna say the fact that the Asham Metzora needs smicha, we're going to say, according to this braisa, is not daraisa. Because unlike most Ashamas, which are coming for kapara, here that the Asham Metzora is coming for lahakshir, to make him that now he's able to enter the Azara or eat kodshim again. So it's a different type of Asham, and therefore midaraisa wouldn't require smicha. We wouldn't apply the hekesh of kahatas ka Asham to it. And therefore in this case, so we can still say mas smicha b'tahorim. We can still say as a blanket statement, smicha always takes place with those who are tahor, because the only tomei who might have to do smicha is the Asham Metzora, and we're going to say that's not daraisa. Well, very well then, that explains why he can't do the smicha, why he can't stick in his hands, because we're not going to allow him to stick in his hands to do a smicha that's not required daraisa. And therefore he'll do the smicha outside in the space of Shaunikana or something, and then we'll bring it into the Azara, and according to the Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, we'll have to take it at least 22 amos away to near the Mizbeach, and then we'll shecht it and continue from there. In fact, Tosfos points out, in that case, if it's not Daraisa, then in addition, he wouldn't be doing a heavy smicha, like we said before. B'chol koichoi, he would only be doing a very light smicha, because otherwise he's doing avoida with kodshin, which itself would be also. Tosfos also discusses, actually, that when we say over here, Asham Metzorah, it might be the same, might be true of an Asham Nozir as well. An Asham Nozir also is also not a kapara. It's also to be machshir him that now his Nazirus is over and he can drink wine and do all the other things. So therefore, by the same token, maybe Smicha wouldn't apply to Daraisa either. So all of that is one way of looking at things so far. So we began the sugya by saying that Ula, we had said earlier in the sugya that Ula had said that a Tomei who slips his hands into the Azara gets Malkus. And the Gemara had assumed that it means not just he gets Malkus, but he could actually be Chayiv Kores. And the Gemara had discussed a Braisa that says that that talks about a Mitzora that became a Baal Keri, and he goes in even though he's a Tvul Yoim, and he goes in and does his Korbanos so that he'll be able to eat Korban Pesach, because the Korban Pesach is an Esser that involves Kores, and here it'll override an Esser that there's no Kores, and so on and so forth. And we went through this whole discussion. Ravina said, never mind that. Inyan Malkus it now. When Ula said that when a person does Bia B'miktas, Shmei Bia is only as far as Malkus. He said, Loike, meaning, in other words, there's no Kores involved, and therefore we don't even need to bring in that whole thing of the Mitzvah Shadar Keri, because when we say only as far as the Azahara, only as far as the warning, and therefore the Malkus, that he can't come in b'miktas, just like he can't touch b'miktas. What we said b'chol kodesh le'siga means to touch with parah, just like a yoledes cannot touch truma with part of her body. The same way the tameh cannot bring part of his body into the azara. That's only as far as the azara, but not necessarily as far as the oynesh. There'd be no oynesh for touching. The most it would be is malchus. So the whole discussion before about Kores involved about the whole Kores would not be relevant. Tosfos actually brings up the point that the question is, we said before that the Esser of the Korban Pesach will override the Esser of a Tomei not coming into the Azor, of the Yishalchom and Amachna. But there's actually an Esser and a Lois Esser involved over here, because you still have the lav of b'chol kodesh le'siga, and an essay is not doicha, an essay and a lois essay. And the answer is that here we were talking about again with the Korban Pesach. It was an essay that includes kodesh that in fact will override even an essay and a lois essay together. Fine. Then further on this topic. Now we said in what Ula had said and what Ula had said in the name of Rish Lakish, we said he had said Makish Biel and Adia, that we had made a hekesh between coming in to the Beis Hamikdash and touching, where we said B'chol Kodesh Le'Siga, and by definition touching is with only part of the body, so therefore Bia is also even with only part of the body. So now another. Another understanding of it. He also Robin, when Robin came from Eretz Yisrael, Omar Rabba Bahu, he said in the name of Rabba Bahu that Rish Lakish did not learn from that pasuk. Rabba Bahu is not learning from that pasuk anything about going into. Is not learning the malchus for a person who comes in, who does bia b'miktas. He's not learning from that pasuk. Rather, he's learning something else entirely from that pasuk. That pasuk and Rav Shlokish's understanding of it was only as far as a Tomei who touches Kodesh, whether he's Chayiv Malkus. So nothing to do with Bia into the Beis Hamikdash at all. So we could say, in other words, that there's no discussion about Bia B'mitzvahs, and maybe Bia B'mitzvahs is allowed. And it's only the pasuk, the Chol Kodesh Le'Siga, is telling us something else entirely. The Itmar, because we have a discussion about that. Tomei Shenoga B'Kodesh, if a Tomei person touches Kodesh, touches Kodshim, Rish Lakish Amalike, Rabbi Yechanan Amal, ain't a like it. Rish Lakish says he's going to get Malkus for that. Rabbi Yechanan says not. Rish Lakish Amalike, because the Pesach says B'chol Kodesh Leisiga. So therefore, there's a lav, and it's a lav sheyesh ben ma'aseh, and it's not a lav hanitza ka'aseh, and so on and so forth, and therefore all the criteria for Malkus apply. Rabbi Yechanan Amal ain't a like it. Ahu b'tshuma, because that Pesach is not talking about Kodesh. That Pesach is talking about touching Truma. And we can't learn, Rashi points out that you can't learn from it, because in other words, the point is that the Pasuk is saying, Ad Yimalois Yimei Tahara, what happens is, so she has her 7 days after a boy, 14 after a girl, when she's completely Tomei, like a Nida, then she has 33 or 66 days of Yimei Tahara, but then during that time, she's considered, she toivels us after 7 or 14 days, then for the next 33 or 66 days, she's like a long Tvulyon. So she's allowed to eat Maisa Sheni at that point, because a Tzulion can eat Maisa Sheni, but she can't eat Truma. Until Ad Miloisi Mei Tara, then when the 40 or 80 days are over, then she's allowed to eat Truma. And the next day she brings her carbon, and now she can eat Tadshim again. So now when the Pasuk is saying, Loisiga, Bechol Kodesh Loisiga, Ad Miloisi Mei Tara, implying that as soon as the Yimei Tara are done, then she can touch it again, that can only be referring to Truma. Because Kodesh, she can't eat until the next morning after she brings her carbon. Now, once... So once we say that pasuk applies to truma, the ein mazirin min adin. You can't create an issur on it from kodesh by a kal v'chomer, and therefore you have no basis, says Rabbi Yochanan, for making her chayav malchus if she touches kodesh. So Rabbi Yochanan is saying she's going to get malchus because he understands the pasuk to be referring to kodesh. Rabbi Yochanan says no, it's referring only to truma. Okay, the question is, according to the Shlokish, though, he's saying that the Pasuk is teaching us Malkus for touching, for a Tomei, touching Kodesh. Is that what he's using the Pasuk for? Don't we need that Pasuk to teach us, rather, that there's a warning, that there's a lav for a person who's Tomei to eat Kodeshin? And after all, the Sfasemis points out, eating doesn't always necessarily imply touching. Somebody could stick it on a stick and stick it down his throat or something. So it's very possible for him to eat it without touching it so that it didn't become tummy. There's actually a point in this connection also that if a tummy touches truma, then he makes it can't be eaten anymore anyway. It's truma tmeya and the dinim, for example, of a zor eating it are not the same as it was if it was truma tahora. As opposed to with kodshim, you have, if kodshim become tummy, there's an issue to eat them, but they're still considered kodshim. Anyway. So according to the Shlokish, we need the Pasuk to be telling us that if a person who is Tomei eats Todshim, then he gets Malkus for that. The Itmar, as in fact it's said about it. Azhara la'uchal sal kodesh minayin, where is there a warning, where is there a lav in the Torah for Tomei who eats sal kodesh? So Rish Lakish learns it from this pasuk that we've just been discussing with Kodesh Leisiga, that it means not to eat Sal Kodesh. So he's understanding Kodesh over there to mean Kodesh, fine. Where how Leisiga comes to mean not eating, where the Gemara is going to explain soon.
Why is the Gemara using it in this lesson? I understand the Itzmar, the Leisiga Kodesh part, but the Menayan Rishlakish Lechura, we just mentioned the pasuk before.
Because we're gonna continue reporting the whole statement to Itmar, reporting the whole statement and
we're bringing it again.
There's two different things over here. We're saying before the Shlokish had said Tomei Shinoga Bakodesh, he gets Malkus because B'chol Chodesh Lesiga. But we have another statement that's known to have been said in the Beis Medrash as well, that Rish Lakish had said that Uichel B'sar Kodesh, we're learning from B'chol Chodesh Lesiga. So we're just quoting it. Rabbi Yechanan says, no, that's not where we're learning it from. I agree that a Tomei that eats Sal Kodesh is Chayav Malkus, but there's a different reason. Toni Bardala, because Bardala, that was his name, Torah Braisa, asked if Tum Oste Tum Oste in the B.S. Mikdash. We make a Zera Shava on the word Tum Oste from coming into the B.S. Mikdash. You have a person who eats from Shlomim, but Tum Oste Olav, and a person who comes into the B.S. Mikdash, Oid Tum Oste Bardala. Malahalam, onash v'hizir. So just like by coming into the Bais Mikdash, when he's tamei, there's a warning, there's a lav, lo yitamus machanehem, and there's a punishment of, and there's a punishment of Koresh for it, because the pasuk says, v'nichusah nefesh ahi, afkan, onash v'hizir, the same way of tamei who eats kodshim, is the same thing. There's an azhara, and there's a warning, and there's an azhara of a lav, and there's a, and then there's an onash of Koresh. So the point is, Rish Lakish is learning from the Chol Kodesh Le'Sigah that a Tomei can't eat Tirumah. How can he also use it to say that if a Tomei, that a Tomei can't eat Kodshim? How can he also use it to say that if a Tomei touches Kodshim, he gets Malchus? And after all, again, eating doesn't necessarily imply touching. So the answer is midah apkar rachmana v'loshin negiya. Rish Lakish would say fine, but since the pasuk phrases it using the word touching, why doesn't it say kol kodesh lo soichal? Instead, it says tiga azhara lo oichal. So we would say like this: Tomish nogabak kodesh. So Tomish nogabak kodesh is midah apkar rachmana v'loshin negiya. How do we know? We can learn both things from the pasuk. It's going to him. The fact that a Tomei, if he touches Kodesh, according to the Shlokesh, gets Malchus, is because it uses the word Negiyah. As far as Oichol Mediyekach Kodesh LeMikdash, and how do we know that he can't eat it, is because that not so much because it says before Kodesh LeSiga, but because the Pasuk continues, Ve'el HaMikdash LeSavoy, and therefore that means that Bias Mikdash involves Kores, and therefore the warning about not eating Kodesh also must involve Kores. And therefore, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, that must mean that that has to be eating, because there's no reason a person should be chayav kares only for touching. So the Shlokish can in fact learn both things from there. Rabbi Yochanan would disagree and say that no, the pasuk b'chol kodesh le'sigah is talking about truma, and therefore there's no azhara for touching kodesh. And as far as eating kodesh, he's learning it from a completely different pasuk, from a completely different zera shava in two completely different pasukim. So the Gemara points out, Tanya Kavasei did a Shlokish. We learn a Braisa, like the Shlokish's version of things, that a person who eats Kodesh, when he's Tomei, is Chayav Kodesh, based on this Pasuk before Kodesh Le'Sigah. That's the point the Braisa says, when it says before Kodesh Le'Sigah, Azvara Lo'Oichol, that's actually a warning to a Tomei, as is the Yeledes, who's a child, who's still Tomei, for the full 40 or 80 days, is Azvara Lo'Oichol as a warning for somebody to not eat Kodesh during that time. How do you know it's for eating? Maybe it literally means for touching. Therefore, the pasuk says she should not touch kodesh and she should not enter the mikdash. Makish kodesh lemikdash. So there's a hekish between kodesh and mikdash. Mam mikdash shavah sheyeshvoi netilas neshama. Mikdash involves where his life will be taken away because he's chayiv kodesh if he goes in there when he's tamei. Af kodesh shavah sheyeshvoi netilas neshama. The same way with the issue with kodesh has to be something where there would be netilas neshama where he could lose his life for it. If it was talking only about touching, Natilas Neshama Miyika, how could there possibly be? There's no Natilas Neshama, there's no Chiyuv Kores just for touching something. We never find anywhere in Torah any case where a person should be Chiyuv Kores for just touching something. Elaba Achila, of necessity. It has to be eating where we do know where there are other places where we find that a person can be Chiyuv Kores for eating something, such as Chela, let's say. So this Braisa tells us exactly, like Rish Lakish, that we are in fact learning from B'chol Kodesh Le'Siga the fact that a Tomei is not allowed to eat Truma, and if they do, they're Chayiv Kares. So not like Rabbi Yochanan, who's instead learning from Zera Shava on the word Trumasei. But nevertheless, again, Rabbi Rish Lakish can still also learn from this Pasuk also about not touching Kodeshim, and that there's Malchus involved, because the Torah said, use the expression Lo'Siga rather than Lo'Sochal.